But we want to talk about non-essential government and what to do to get Connecticut back on track. And we figure the best person to ask this would be the president of the Yankee Institute, Carol Platt Labow. Let's bring her on right now. Carol, are you there? Good morning.
Good morning, Gary, and good morning to your audience.
Oh, we love having you on. Thanks for being with us.
Well, always a pleasure and an honor.
It's always ours, Carol. It really is.
Well, so you're right. I mean, we have. We've heard a lot about non-essential businesses. Don't you think it's about time to talk about non-essential government?
Yes, I do. Let's do that.
Okay, let's do. It seems to me, and to all of us at Yankee Institute, that we have a lot of government. And what we've been doing right now in the midst of this pandemic is we've seen government shifting into doing things it's not supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yep.
You know, for example, Gary, it's not government's job to be picking winners and losers among Connecticut's businesses. I mean, for example, until last Wednesday, why was it that I could go down to Walmart or Target and I could buy clothes there, but I couldn't go down to Main Street and buy a blouse there at a small business?
Yeah, you're right. It's picking winners and losers.
Right. And that's not the government's job. It's the government's job to offer reasonable guidelines to keep the public safe and then trust people to make the decisions that are right for them. You don't feel safe going out, don't go out. But, you know, for the rest of us, you know, you put down some guidelines guided by science. And that's the other point, Gary. You know, our government decision-making should be transparent. We've seen a lot of this reopen Connecticut advisory board that the governor's had. And now we have this Boston Consulting Group. And a lot of the decisions that are being made in our name, because, you know, we're the ones who are being affected by these decisions. These decisions are being made in our name, and yet we don't know how they're being made. We're not exactly sure who's making them or what the information is that they're using to make them. And so we should have some transparency around all of this, and these decisions should rest on clearly explained scientific or policy rationales that are equally applied to all citizens or all businesses. Not, you know, if you're a big retailer like Target, you can sell clothes, but if you're a small retailer that sells only clothes, you can't do that.
Well, you know, I asked a couple of, I think we had the commissioner of Department of Economic and Community Development on last week, and I asked him to that very point, and he said, you know, I even asked Themis Claridis that very same question as well, who was on with us on Thursday. And they both gave the same answer. They said, you know, retailers like Target and Walmart also sell food. In other words, they're grocers as well. And not only that, but they also have pharmacies in them where people get their. And I think Target has CVS pharmacy with a lot of the Targets. Whereas Walmart has their own independent pharmacy. So that was the answer to why those two stores that you just mentioned were allowed to remain open.
Right, but the whole point is that shows a level of arbitrariness in terms of who's allowed to survive and who's not. And the point is that they shouldn't be classifying based on who's essential and who's not. That's not the government's job to decide. Every business is essential to the people who own it, to the customers who depend on it, and to the people who work for it and whose family is depending on that income.
Mm.
What the government should be deciding is what needs to happen in order for the public to be kept safe, put out those guidelines, and then let every business operate so long as they can do it in a way that guarantees a certain level of safety. If I don't feel safe patronizing that business, I don't have to do it. But then they're not forcibly taking away the livelihood of some and not of others. And so it should be based on a safety determination, not an essentiality determination.
Okay, yeah. I'll buy that. It makes perfect sense to me. But here's the issue. How do you, you know, when you're the legislature and you've been shut out, how do you even get the opportunity then to present your case to the monarchy of the governor?
Well, I would suggest you come back into session. You know, I don't think you need the governor to call you into session.
No, but there was that whole thing of if they called back into session, they'd only allow, what is it, 20 people in the room at a time. It would have to be staggered. So, and that would really be for the purpose of voting, which from my understanding, that may actually be the case either later on in late June or early July when they go to vote on tweaks to the last year's budget.
Yeah. Well, you know, Gary, it's not my job to tell the legislature how to do its business. All I know is that where there is a will, there's a way. And we are a government that has certainly three co-equal branches here in Connecticut, an executive, a legislature, and a judiciary.
Uh-huh.
And the legislature is supposed to represent the voice of the people who elected them.
Absolutely.
And if they're not able to do that, then they're not able to do their jobs. And we need for that to happen. And Governor Lamont indeed should be recognizing his obligation to collaborate with the people's representatives in the state legislature. And I think that there are a lot of legislators who recognize that they need to be having input on how our state proceeds and the decisions that are being made in their constituents' name. Those decisions cannot be outsourced to unelected, unaccountable people and made without any sort of transparency so that none of us understand what kind of information and on what kind of basis these decisions are being made. These are life-altering decisions for people.
Yeah, and sadly, you know, we voice our opinions to our state representatives and to state senators. For some, it'll fall on deaf ears. For others who are paying attention and may agree with you, in talking with them, they feel that their hands are tied. I mean, they can go to the governor's office and say, listen, I'm hearing from constituents left and right who are very disappointed that all these decisions seem to be made in a vacuum. You know, but it seems to me that the governor really has made his decision on this. He's already committed to this Boston consulting group. And not only that, but really not allowing not only the media, but even minutes to be taken. It's not FOI-able. It's happening behind closed doors. And it seems like he's really not open.
That's a travesty, and that's something that everyone in Connecticut should keep in mind. Because, you know, perhaps the governor has forgotten. You know, he is supposed to be working on our behalf, and he has an obligation to help us understand exactly how and why these decisions are being made. And you know, we have a right to know what information is going into these decisions,
uh-huh,
and exactly on what scientific basis are these things being made. Now, obviously, the science can change. We're learning more about, you know, this illness all the time, and I think people are understanding of that. But the idea that some unelected officials go into a room and make decisions that alter the livelihoods of people across the state and their very lives, in fact, I mean, no one elected them. No one can vote them out. That isn't the way that policy in a democratic republic is supposed to work.
That's right. That's right. So they can make decisions arbitrarily without any regard to doing the will of the people in which they're making decisions for, because they don't even live here to begin with. You know, to your point earlier, when you hit the nail right on the head, Carol, when you talked about picking winners and losers, that's not what the governor should be for, but it seems like he doesn't care. He doesn't care. He's not looking at, well, you know, voters will remember this. I don't think he cares. I think he's got an agenda. He's going to follow that through as far as he can take it, and that's that.
Yeah, it's sort of an unfortunate byproduct of perhaps a mentality where, you know, one hasn't perhaps spent enough time with the people who are going to be affected by these decisions or heard enough from them. You know, it's all good and well to approach things in this very clinical, detached way. But this idea that, that you can just go to these experts and, quote-unquote, and decide how people's lives are going to run is a thoroughly discredited notion. And the fact is that Governor Lamont needs to listen a little bit more to the people on the ground and a little bit less to these people who are completely disconnected from any sort of accountability. And if he were listening, I think he would hear a lot of people saying loud and clear that what he needs to be doing is suspending the 5.5% state employee pay increase that's been scheduled for July. I mean, he wants to talk about shared sacrifice. Well, if that's the case, the sacrifice should be truly shared. And state employees received a 5.5% pay increase last year and a $2,000 bonus in 2018. And, you know, when you see so many people thrown, their livelihoods completely destroyed, people in food lines, and not knowing where their next paycheck is coming from, the idea that, that people who received a 5.5% pay increase last year automatically getting one next year, it boggles the mind. And yeah, the following, you know, there are a number of states that have either proposed or passed legislation or executive orders for pay freezes, pay cuts, or the furloughing of some state workers. And those states include New York, Virginia, Alabama, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Michigan, New Jersey, Rhode Island, Nevada, New Mexico, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania. And, you know, there are plenty of blue states in there.
Uh-huh.
California, they arbitrarily, the governor went ahead and cut a state employee compensation by 10%.
But you got to remember, that's what feeds the Democrat Party. You don't bite the hand that feeds you.
Well, I'm just saying that Governor Lamont supposedly was not elected to be a governor for the Democratic Party. He was elected, if that's the case, Gary, he was elected to be a governor for everyone.
Well,
and if he is willing to, if he is willing to simply ignore the voices of the people who are extremely unhappy that he seems not to care about popular opinion when it comes to outsourcing decision-making on some issues, then perhaps he'd be even-handed and go ahead and simply take this measure as well.
Yeah, it, all I can say is that's how it comes across, is that he really doesn't care, that he's making the decisions on his own, and let the chips fall where they may. But not only you're talking about the 5% pay increment, how about not there's no employee who is subject to a furlough or to being laid off, where in the private sector, I mean, like you just said, I mean, people are losing their jobs left and right, you know, not just necessarily not getting a raise, you know, they're just losing their job outright. And even when businesses can reopen, there may be not a job for them to return to.
Precisely. And, you know, Governor Lamont hasn't been shy about using his emergency authority to close down businesses and take away livelihoods in the private sector. I would humbly suggest that he use his emergency authority to bring government unions to the negotiating table. It's time that we talk about how we can get some of these costs that are bankrupting our state under control. And simply suspending the 5.5% state employee pay increase that's scheduled for next month, or July rather, would save $353 million each year going forward.
Wow.
That's a chunk of change, and that could help a lot of people who are struggling simply to get by.
All right, but Carol, in your heart of hearts, do you really see that happening? Do you really see the governor doing that?
Well, I'll tell you something, Gary. I tend to agree with Ronald Reagan. You know, I don't believe in a fate that falls on us no matter what we do. I believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing. And so I think it is up to all of us, everyone listening, to make our voices heard. And I would ask everyone to go to yankeeinstitute.org. And there's a hashtag Let's Go CT. You click on it and there's a place where you can sign up, and we have a petition there. Tell Governor Lamont it's time to play fair. And we will deliver those petitions to Governor Lamont and tell him it is time for shared sacrifice across our state to be truly shared.
Well, and listen, I encourage, I want to make sure that, we only have a couple minutes left anyhow, I want to make sure that you give that your website out once again. But where's our Republican lawmakers? Where's our Republican state legislators? They already have access to the governor. Why aren't they up there doing that and speaking out on behalf of their constituents?
Well, you know, Gary, Yankee Institute is a nonpartisan organization, and I'm sure there are Democrats who in their heart of hearts agree with us as well. So Republican, Democrat, there's room for everyone who care about the small businesses, the medium-sized businesses, even the big businesses, every private enterprise that creates jobs, that helps people have a job and make a life here in our beautiful state. And anyone who cares about this and wants these businesses to be able to thrive, for our state to prosper, this is what we do. Let's go CT. It's time for this state to get going again, and time for the governor to stop giving one dominant special interest special treatment.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Do you think, Carol, do you think the state should reopen 100% right now?
Well, you know, I'm not an expert in the health implications of all of this, and I think it's important to make sure that we do everything consistent with the best guidance that will ensure that we don't jeopardize our most vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think there is a way to make sure that people can earn a living, and that those who are the vulnerable and who have underlying health conditions and who are elderly, they stay safe, they stay home, and the rest of us taking proper precautions get back out there and start getting things going, so that we and our children are not stuck in a depression which comes with certain health risks of its own.
Yeah, I mean, I was telling somebody just last week, I mean, the aftermath of this could be far more detrimental than the actual, the cure could be worse than the actual cause.
Absolutely.
Here.
And I think that it is far past time for everyone to start thinking of that.
You know, even our bordering states, by the way, who coincidentally have this very same consulting group, are ahead of us in reopening. Now, our adversaries would say, yeah, but they didn't have it as worse as Connecticut. But then you look at New Jersey in New York, and those are the two states that are ahead of us as far as having it worse, and even they're beginning to reopen. So it just seems like Lamont is more of a follower than a leader, as, you know, when it comes